Okay. What is your full name?
Nina A. Glazier.
And your age?
65.
Okay. Perk?
D.Y. Perkins. 7/26/40.
When did you first become, and I'm going to let both of you just answer whenever you like, you take turns or just however you want to do it. When did you first become aware of the Starbucks fire? Go ahead, I'm just watching.
Oh.
About 4?
Yeah, 4 o'clock when they came to the door and said we needed to evacuate.
Okay.
We could smell the smoke in the air really bad, but I myself didn't know how. I was wondering how close it was and didn't know. I just knew it was heavy, very heavy. And then about 4 o'clock after he got home from work, Katie Cryer came to the door and says, we need to evacuate.
What was your first reaction?
His was no.
I wasn't going to go.
Why?
Why? I couldn't load up what I wanted to take with me. I couldn't get everything loaded. So,
mm-hmm. So he was going to stay and protect it.
Okay.
Then we... She went to get her cats, animals, and she didn't leave till probably 5:30. And by then, they had closed the roads, but we didn't know it. They had left. They turned everybody back, and then they left. So we went on through. I was leading, but I couldn't see. I run off the road twice.
Into burning ditch.
And this is fire all around us. And she got out. We stopped to get me out of the ditch and said, you can't see, I'll go ahead, you follow me. So I did. And I couldn't see her at all. In the smoke and the fire, and it come up over the pickup. And I thought to myself that I'm gonna stop in Sitka. And I was flashing my lights, trying to get her to stop. She didn't have a phone.
It died.
And I pulled in at Sitka, and there was probably half a dozen cars there and a truck. This is at the county deal. And I pulled up, and her son was in the vehicle next to me.
And his wife in her car.
Okay.
And he said, where's mom? And I said, she went on. I couldn't get her to stop. So we sat there a little while. And finally he said, I'm going to go find mom. I said, okay, we'll all go. So we went.
In separate vehicles or together?
Yeah, separate vehicles.
Three.
Still not able to see where you were going.
Oh, dear.
Fire on both sides of the road and the dirt and the smoke and
yeah,
and everything. Yeah. I had ended up in protection.
You didn't turn south? You didn't go through Sitka?
No, I went past it because I was trying to get out of the smoke.
And couldn't see
I
the
couldn't
corner.
See him trying to flag me. It was the smoke was so we didn't know where we were. I mean,
yeah,
except going straight on the road. And I ended up in Sitka. there was 2 semis went by and about 3 cars went by and I'm like, he was right behind me. And I'm like, did he go off in a ditch again? you know, what happened. So I turn around and I go back into the fire.
Okay. When did so, what happened then?
So, and then as I mean, I'm driving like a bat out of hell.
Yes.
And trying to get as fast out of that fire as fast as I can and back into it as fast as I can, I guess. And so we kind of came, I came to a clearing, and here was Robbie's pickup, and he's seen me, and he's like, and then his wife, and then Perk, and then Marie Milam was behind them, and then I just turned around in the road, and we all headed, headed into Coldwater. But I was, there was at one point, I was on the wrong side of the road, trying to stay on the road, and lights had seen me and went around me. I don't know why they were going towards Ashland. I wasn't even thinking of anybody being on that side of the road.
No.
And they went around me. Lights went around me. I'd have hit them head on because I do not, I could not see.
Well, before I got to Sitka, I met a car. And it was a older couple, man and woman, and I stopped them and asked them where they had come from, and they said Buffalo, Oklahoma, and don't go there. So we decided to go on to Coldwater.
See, at first they told everybody to go to Buffalo, so you were lucky you talked to them. Okay. So you went on into Coldwater, all four vehicles now.
Mm-hmm. Him with five cats in his vehicle, and me with eight cats in mine.
I have some dogs if you want some.
That's okay. I had a litter box, I had water, I had food, and the cats.
Were they in crates?
Yes, some of them were in kennels, and some of them were used to driving in a vehicle. So some of them were out. The ones that I knew would be okay out, I left out, and then the ones that I could get in the kennel, then I put doubled them up or threed them up or whatever and put them in kennels. And he had five in kennels in his car. And he was going to put him in the back of the pickup, just in the back of the pickup. And I says, no, no, they have to go inside. And then when we got situated, he says, boy, it's a good thing that you put them inside. They had never made it. We smoke was so thick, you couldn't breathe. It's still scary.
Yes. But your cats were okay.
But we didn't get to Coldwater till 7 or so, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's pretty late.
So an hour and a half to go to Coldwater. Wow. See, I left out of here a little after 4. And I know how dense it was even at 4. Because there had been a notification that we were going to be evacuated.
Mm-hmm.
Really, so some of us knew because of the internet, but you didn't know until Katie came to the door.
Right.
Okay, bless Katie.
Yeah, yeah, they were going house to house.
And making sure everybody knew.
Or, and then, well, they asked, you know, we need to know, are you leaving or are you staying? I mean, I guess we did have the option.
Yeah.
But it just took, took me a while to get out of there.
Oh. But your son and his wife, everybody was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Did you take any steps to protect your stuff that you left here?
Mm-hmm. Well, my son, he did mention, he said, Mom, turn on your sprinkler system. So I messed around with that for quite a while because I was nervous and I was trying to get it on, set on,
yes,
and at the time and just running all the time, you know,
yes,
and I just couldn't get it working, and I fiddled with that probably 15 minutes or so, and I finally said, I can't do this,
yes.
You know, but I did put a sprinkler hose on towards like the porch because I had to leave some of my cats home, and
okay,
so I did leave close to my porch, I just left the water sprinkler on so that at least they would have some damp air and stuff where they should be okay on the porch. And there's houses and stuff on the porch for them. But that was my concern, my outside cats breathing that smoke.
So you did the best you could for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Did you lock up the house? Did you do anything like that?
I always lock my house.
Okay.
I do.
Keep talking even if I'm not here. Where did you stay when you were in Coldwater?
We stayed in our pickups.
At the school?
Yeah, in the school.
In the cab?
Yeah. With the cats.
With the cats. Had to keep them occupied.
So you stayed in the school, you stayed in the parking lot with the cats.
With the cats, yeah. And it was chilly.
It was chilly that night. And you used booty box in the cab with you.
Yeah, well, in my car, I had ate the cats, and I had a litter box and food and water. So we let just about all the cats out that was in his pickup, because he's got like the Dexter cab there. Mm-hmm. And so we let them out, and they were the best things.
Yeah.
They just roamed around and looked, you know, and was really good. And then I would switch. I would take them and put them in my car so that they could use the litter box, get eaten, whatever, and let them in there for a while. And then I'd go get them and go get another one and switch them out.
Okay.
So everything was good.
You did the best you could.
Yeah, I had Corky, my one cat. He kept getting on my steering wheel in my car and hitting on the steering wheel and on the horn. And I'd say, Corky, get off it! So I'd have to go over there and sit with him for a while.
And get him off the horn.
Yeah, get him off the horn.
He's heavy enough, he can blow the horn.
Yeah, he's a heavy cat.
Did you get any sleep?
Not much. And we'd go inside, you know, and I'd go inside and see what was going on, any updates and stuff like that.
They had food and drink inside.
Yeah. It was warm. Because wasn't it pretty chilly that night?
It was chilly that night. We had the vehicle running most of the night. And then I'd go over to my car and turn it on so my cats wouldn't get cold. Not that it would really matter, I guess, but they're very spoiled cats.
How did you find out you could come back?
Went into the school and then got the okay that it was, that they were opening the roads because they closed the roads to go back in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about 7:30, I think, between 7 and 7:30 when they let us go back in.
So you were back in Ashland by 8:30?
8:30, yeah.
What was it like driving back into town?
Mm.
Yeah, devastating.
It reminded me of Berlin, Germany, and it had been bombed out. About the same color, everything burnt.
Did it smell the same?
Yeah, you could smell the smoke.
Still.
Mm-hmm. Because it was burned solid from Sitka on in.
Yeah, and then there was some areas where, because of the wind was blowing and the dirt was blowing because it was so dry, it was just the burn was covered with the clay. And
yes,
you could just see areas of it where it was just dirt.
I noticed Matt Wilson's houses weren't there. I use them as a landmark. They weren't there.
And that tree row Janae worked so hard on.
Yeah.
And they had that big old tree. It was a dead tree. It was down in their front yard there. And she was eventually going to do something with it, but she didn't know what. And it sat there forever and ever, and now it's gone.
Now it's gone.
Bless her heart.
That's one way to get rid of it.
I guess now she doesn't have to decide what to do with it.
Oh. What did you do when you got back that morning, Tuesday morning? What'd you do?
I took care of my animals that I had left and stuff, made sure they were all okay. I did not open up. Mm-hmm. I just stayed home and took care of things.
Okay.
I unloaded my pickup and opened up.
You opened your store?
Mm-hmm.
Did you do any business?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure did.
I opened too, but I didn't come over till after dinner.
Mm.
And then I opened the library.
Everybody talked about it.
Well, when we left, we're getting ready to leave also. At the beginning of the deal, it was a Monday night, of course, and I open on Monday nights.
Right.
And so I had everything ready to go.
Yes.
And I was just taking a little break before I had to go back. And so that was another reason why we were late, because I had to go back and kind of close the restaurant down. I mean, I shut things off and didn't really put a lot of stuff away that I had out. I just left it, but I did shut all the electrical stuff off and everything like that. And so when we got back the next morning, then I had to go in and tidy things up and stuff.
Did you have to deal with much smoke damage inside?
No.
Okay.
No, that was all okay.
So that's good.
But you could, but in the mornings, yeah, they're a little...
Go ahead and talk, okay?
But in the mornings, when I would go to work after that, you could still just smell the smoke in the air. It was so thick in the mornings. It was... real thick. Evidence that it was there. I just switched teams. Wait, why are you over here?
Did you lose anything in the fire?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you were really blessed.
Mm-hmm.
When you think back over pretty much a nasty 12-hour period, what's your most vivid memory?
What'd you do?
What is your most vivid memory? What sticks with you the most?
Trying to get out of town for me.
The road. The fire engulfed the pickup.
It was horrible.
I was hoping my gas cap wasn't leaking or...
Yeah, he got hit by a fireball.
It was just as the fire jumped the road, I mean.
Do you feel anything?
I felt the heat.
You felt it inside the cab?
Yeah.
But it didn't suck the... Your engine kept running. It didn't suck all your oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
How long did it last?
Not very long. I mean, it was moving.
And he was moving, so.
But I was worrying about running. I was following the white line every now and then, and then I realized that it was the white line on the edge of the road, not the yellow line that I should be on. And I thought, boy, they got guardrails and everything up.
Aren't you glad you didn't meet anyone?
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly how long did it take then to get from Sitka to Coldwater? Or where did you have the fireball?
Between Ashland and Sitka.
Okay. Is that 7 miles?
Yes.
So was that the worst of the road you traveled?
Yeah. For me, it was.
And after you went from Sitka to Coldwater, then it was pretty clear?
No.
It was dirt.
There was a few little spots you might be able to see a little clear, but otherwise it was horrible.
It didn't get clear till after protection.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the dirt was from Sitka to Protection. It was just dirt and smoke. Wind.
Mm-hmm. Had you ever dealt with a wildfire before this happened?
I haven't, no.
No.
Okay. You know that Dr. Hoy helped us write these questions, and they're trying to get us to tell in 20 years when people try to remember what happened, you know. They ask, how would you describe your emotional response to the fire? Were you scared? Angry? I mean...
I wasn't sure what... I didn't really know what to think at first, you know. It was a fire coming into town, and we would get out of town.
Yeah.
But it wasn't driving through the fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, it scared me going through the fire.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing that we got out of there.
What have you done to try to help yourself deal with how terrifying it was?
Ask that again.
How have you helped yourself to cope with how terrifying it was?
We talk to each other.
Mm-hmm. Does that help?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said that the day after the fire, you had people come into your business and wanted to talk about it. They just wanted to talk about their experiences?
Oh, yeah, and what I'd heard. Some said they had 50 mile an hour wind, some said they had 70. I mean, everybody had a little story to it.
And I find that even, like, after the fire, when people would come to the restaurant, you know, and stuff, and you stop and ask them their stories, and it's just horrible. Especially the people out in the country, what they went through.
Yeah, lost their house and stuff.
I don't know how we were so fortunate not to lose any of our own people. You know? How did we escape?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Jenny ventured out there. And
I
heard her story, and I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Dave's story, too. I mean, he was lucky.
Dave.
Those eyes.
Oh, yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
Bless his heart.
Did anyone help you? Did you require any help from people or agencies after it was over?
No.
You pretty much just went back to work, didn't
right.
you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, just really blunt, what effect did the fire have on you?
Well, it's a memory I will never forget.
We were just lucky.
Yeah,
like he says, we shouldn't be here. We really.
It just wasn't our day to die.
If you had known, would you have left sooner?
Yeah.
You would have?
I think so. Or I would have stayed.
I would have probably stayed.
Okay.
And tried to take care of everybody at home.
Okay. Did this fire have an effect on your neighborhood? Did it change anything about your neighborhood?
No.
Okay. Do you think the fire changed our community?
Absolutely.
In what way?
I think it brought us together
more. Yeah, and more thankful.
So you're really giving a positive effect in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know if you guys were raised here. Did your families live here before? So you both moved into Ashland in midlife, probably? Okay. Did your families farm or ranch or deal with
public?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. My sister had a restaurant before I did. She had some kind of a restaurant and stuff. And
okay. Have you done anything? Do you think we'll ever have a fire like this again?
Uh-uh.
Why?
I just don't. I think the land was just ready for this. Dry and all the grass we got.
I've heard that. I've heard several people say that. You know, it was a very bad thing, but it was something that almost was needed to clear things up. I've heard that from several people. I don't know. I thought.
Have you driven to Woodward?
No, but I would think it was pretty devastating myself. I mean, I know how you burn your grass sometimes, and it comes back greener and more nutritious and all that stuff. But there was just more involved than just taking care of your grass and your ground.
Well, they burn the Flint Hills every year.
But you didn't have that loss. Mm-hmm. You don't have all that loss.
And if you burn every year, you don't have 3 foot tall, tall grass. It's the best fence I've ever seen in this country.
And the trees will grow back. Not in our lifetime, probably, but they will grow back.
Yeah. So, if we had to just wrap it in a nutshell, you don't think that we will have a fire of this magnitude again in your lifetimes?
No.
I don't think so. I don't think we'll see it.
Okay.
I pray to God we don't see it.
Well, hopefully we're afraid of it now.
Okay. I don't know what started this one, but...
Have you heard what started this one?
No.
Me never either.
Why? Well, I've heard a couple of things, but, you know, that's just rumor and grapevine and stuff like that.
I would almost rather we didn't find out it was a person. Yeah. Do you have any other thoughts about probably the most traumatic experience of your life?
I just wouldn't ever want to go through something like that again. And I'm just thankful that all my families are safe.
Yeah. And you came home to a house.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people didn't.
Yeah. Oh, folks. I think we're done, unless you have something else that you want to go into the record.
No. Who edits this? You do? Do we get to see it before it